HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 228, recorded live Thursday, August 12th, 2010. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik R80 Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Jeff Wilcox from the Silverlight team about developing on the Windows Phone 7.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes, brought to you today with a lovely cold. So forgive my one octave down voice. And I'm on the phone today with Jeff Wilcox. Jeff is a software development engineer at Microsoft and works on the Silverlight phone, what we call the Windows Phone 7 series. How are you, Jeff?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. What's your specific area that you focus on? You work on the phone, right? You work on Silverlight. What's your job?
Well, I'm actually on the Silverlight proper team. So my job is to make sure that Silverlight, you know, just works great on the phone because it's the real Silverlight. It's really not that different from what's on the desktop. So, you know, my job is to work on improving the performance and kind of sharing the message on how to make your apps run a lot better on the phone.
So that's interesting. So there's the Silverlight team, and that's the same team that delivers Silverlight on the web, right?
Yep.
And then there's the low level phone guys. How is that organized? I mean, do you work a little bit on phone stuff and you work a little bit on web stuff?
Yeah. Well, let's not call them low level phone guys. But it's definitely, you know, there's this, I guess people don't really care about the organizations at Microsoft, you know. But when we got the Silverlight team and we are looking at everything we do, we've got the plugin, we're doing, you know, the phone story here. Then there's this app platform team, and they're working on making sure that, you know, the whole Windows Phone is really the best way to build apps, and they're part of the whole Windows Phone organization. So it's kind of this big partnership with all three of these teams working together to bring this to developers.
So if you do something on Silverlight, if you improve something, like you said that you work on performance, is that something that where you can improve something in Silverlight and then you'll get that improvement in both places?
Yeah, you know, it goes both ways. On the phone, we've actually kind of changed how animations work. They actually are a lot more smooth and robust. And this work, we're hoping in the future to bring back to Silverlight. So it's kind of a two-way street. Then at the same side, Silverlight on the phone is kind of based on Silverlight 3 because we're working on it at the same time as Silverlight 4. But we had to start somewhere. So we actually brought a lot of features from Silverlight 4 to the phone directly.
So is it kind of like Silverlight 3 and some extra stuff?
Yeah, it's like Silverlight 3.7, I think, is kind of our fun name for it.
3.7. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But the good news is if you built Silverlight 3 apps, it's exactly the same, and that's even better.
Yeah, I've got all the tools I've installed on my system here, and I'm not really a Silverlight person quite yet, but I'm trying to get my head around this because a guy gave me a phone, so I've actually got an actual prototype phone, one of these developer phones. I guess this phone will never be made, but it's a nice little developer type phone.
And yeah. Well, you're not supposed to, you know, if you tell people you have that phone, people are just going to want you to run their apps and they're going to want to see it. So the word's out now, isn't it?
It's funny. Everyone was talking about like, oh, I wish I had a phone. I wish I had a phone. I was like, well, you know, you have a great emulator. And they were like, no, but I just want to see it. And I was like, oh, that's silly. But then I got my app running on the phone yesterday, and it was just like, I don't know, I was just kind of giddy. There's something about the phone itself, like the idea that I affected a computer outside my computer. You know, it's so stupid, but that's one of the things that's great about any kind of embedded systems work or any work that involves additional hardware. Getting that to you know, getting a pixel to wiggle or whatever is extremely satisfying.
Well, I think part of it's the touch, right? You know, we're just so used to using that mouse on the computer, and it's just a whole different world once you get it running on that phone.
Yeah, it is. I've got a touch monitor, but the emulator and the touch, it's just not the same. And actually, seeing my icon on the screen there is pretty insane.
Yeah, but well, you know, that's actually Windows Phone, you know, running in your emulator. So it's really similar. It's just an x86 build of the OS. So there's a lot of similarities there.
So, I mean, it really is the OS, right? I mean, it's not faking anything?
No. Yeah, it's an actual build. When we build off, you know, a Windows Phone build on a machine, we're actually building an x86, so what's in the emulator, and then, you know, an ARM, which is what goes on a phone.
Okay. Some of the things that I'm noticing that I've not been able to get working quite yet, and this is mostly because I haven't been reading too much, is some of the subtle animations. Like, I've got a nice list going, and I've modified the list, and I've added some nice icons, and, you know, all that stuff is really pretty straightforward, although I'm not a designer. I have a very Spartan design here. But
well,
I want to have some different...
Website, Scott.
Well, yeah. It is a little rough. I want to have some animations from, like, page to page. So I've started out with the basic list of stuff and then the details, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm porting an offline reader application from the iPhone. So you've got your list of things that you've got in your offline reader cache, and you click a button, and then it goes forward. But right now, it's pretty basic. I'm going to fire up the emulator here, and then the list kind of, like, goes blah, 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 blah. And I've got the nice scrolly stuff. That was all for free.
Cool.
And then when I click, it just goes, boop, and I'm right there. I want to get a full page animation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How does that work? I have, like, my main page .xaml, and then I have my details page .xaml. I understand how to do animations within a page, but how do I animate between two pages?
Yeah. Well, we've been having a lot of customers up in Redmond, Canada, stepping through the same problem. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone wants something to just drop right in there. You know, you just want to either encase it in a control or put a control on your page that takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the important message is someone's going to do that, I hope. Mm-hmm. I don't know who.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the meantime, you can totally fire up Blend, and you can hook up, you know, your own storyboard for the actual page. That's no problem. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, there's no just way today to say, hey, you know, make this really cool animation. So... it's something we're aware of, and I know that there's a couple guys that are trying to actually take all the Windows Phone animations and document them. So the Windows Phone documentation will have a lot of the stuff you need to do that, but it's not there today. Sorry.
No, of course. I'm not as worried about what's here today and what's there tomorrow, because I recognize that people will, that, you know, I'm sure that there's missing stuff and it'll be there because it's not out yet. But mm-hmm. I'm more interested in the internal details, in the sense of, you know, there's all these different UI design guidelines, and you can go up and download these. There's like a PDF all about how your application should behave in the Metro world. And there's like the turnstile animation and the rotation, you know, all these kind of things that you see as you move around the phone. If I make a storyboard, right, that's the basis of an animation in Silverlight. Am I correct?
Yep.
So if I go and do like a forward turnstile animation where I click and then the page kind of turns away and the new one turns in.
Mm-hmm.
Are these like, I can see how I can draw the animation. Like you said, I can go into Blend or I can go on and find various people's blogs. But is this like in the onloaded event, or how do you make it smooth? Is there like an event that I'm not seeing, or a place to hook in for each of these pages? I assume that there's a, I'm about to leave and animate out, and here I come, animate in.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's navigation events on the pages, and that's mm-hmm. part of the story. And I think a lot of it's going to be fine-tuning. So you click on the button, you queue up your animation immediately, mm-hmm. and then you can actually monitor when that storyboard completes, and then use that to kick off the next navigation. I swear it's a lot easier than it sounds.
Okay, but the general idea is that... this is happening, this has happened kind of events?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And that's just something where I think we need to get guidance out to people on, here's the perfect way to do that turnstile, and it'll be really easy at that point.
Yeah, I'm sure all of that will be on MSDN. I know lots of people are working on things. So when I click on something, I use this thing called the navigation service. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, that's a property that actually lives right on your page.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I noticed that when I navigate, I'm actually navigating to a URI, which mm-hmm. kind of was funny because it reminded me that I really am in Silverlight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it should be kind of familiar if you're using the Silverlight navigation service today.
Right, exactly. I'm saying navigation service.navigate, take me to details, and I'm passing that information in a URL. So it's almost like every application is like a little web a little web browser.
Yeah, totally. You know, you have your XAML files that are sitting right there in your project, and you can navigate to those. That's easy. But, you know, a big thing is about improving the performance of your apps. You know, how do you just make it quicker, and how do you improve your startup time? And you can actually put those XAML pages in, you know, another project inside that same application.
Right.
And when you do that, that DLO will actually be delay loaded until you, you know, until you actually need it. We'll keep it to the side. And so that, that whole URI syntax is a way to actually, you know, improve performance in your application. You move that secondary content into that other project, and it just works.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because performance was one of the things I wanted to talk about. When I start my application up now, there's a little clock that appears for just a moment, and then my app starts up.
Yeah. Well,
what's
that little clock's
there?
Actually inside your project, Scott.
No. Oh, crap.
It should be.
I was like, I thought you were going to tell me the button to push to fix that.
No, no. So that's actually the splash screen.
Ah.
And it's totally up to you. You can have your branding there. You could have it make it look like your first page of the app. There's a lot you can do there. And you don't really have to have a splash screen, but you probably want one.
Okay, because it's just for a second. It's like, it just goes, oh, clock. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what that clock is.
Well, you know, I'm not sure exactly which build you're using, but we've done some really big improvements on perf, you know, since the beta. And hopefully, you know, people are just going to see the goodness. We've been working real hard on improving performance, and splash screen is part of that.
Okay, so I can put up whatever I want. But you said something interesting there, where you said that if there's XAML pages that I'm not going to need, or maybe I'll need them later, is there? You said there's benefit for putting that in another DLL.
Oh yeah, totally. So when you start up your application, it's actually, you know, it's already on the phone. All those files are just sitting there alongside. And so we're going to start up your main app by reading that whole DLL into the whole CLR process. If you can have that split up across a couple different files, then we'll just take that first one and keep the others, you know, until you need them.
Ah, okay, that's interesting, because my application will primarily have its main screen and its details screen, but settings would be like an example of a complicated page that probably won't be used very often.
Yeah, settings totally is a great candidate. Just put it along to the side.
Okay, okay. So then any delays would be...
Of course, put any Easter eggs in there. You know, put the Easter eggs somewhere else.
Right, anything that's gonna load up big animations or anything complicated.
Yeah. Hey, so do you actually have your project open right now on your computer?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Do you have a splash screen image.jpg in your project?
Okay, so I'm looking in my project. Splash screen image.jpg. Yep, and there it is. I double-click, and there's my clock. All right, I didn't even
know
that was
there. So you can put, you know, a picture of yourself up there, and you'll have the best app.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think I'd rather not have a splash screen at all. It shows up for just an instant, and it flashes for half a second. And I wonder, do I want a big startup? I really want my application to feel like it fits in with everything else. You know, when I launch mail, it just comes up, and when I launch the browser, it just comes up. So that's going to be an interesting challenge. I don't want to spend a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, splash screen, you don't need to have one. I think if your app's really big, you know, if you were doing a huge movie experience and you were loading, you know, 30 different projects up, and in that case, you probably want one, because psychologically, you kind of trick people. You say, hey, maybe it wasn't 700 milliseconds. Maybe it was 200. It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Something to consider.
One of the things my application's going to do is do stuff in the background, because I want it to start up and then immediately start downloading things.
Definitely.
How much thought am I going to have to put into performance? I know these are fast little things. I think they're like gigahertz processors or whatever. I mean, there's a hardware spec for these things.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got the little pre-build phone here, and it's very, very fast. I haven't had any trouble with the speed, but I'm wondering, what are some gotchas that I'm going to need to watch out for so that I don't slow this down inadvertently?
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest, it's a completely different world than, you know, Silverlight for the desktop. And hopefully people understand that. I think people do. You know, it's 1 gigahertz versus, you know, an 8-core machine that's just rocking a lot of memory. Mm-hmm. So there's actual work people are going to need to do once they start getting devices to just, you know, try the apps out and make optimizations. And we've shared, there's actually a white paper up. It's public today, and it's all about performance. And that's really something people should check out, because we've detailed probably 10 or 15 different steps that just really will make your apps that much better that on Silverlight you never had to worry about at all.
Yeah, I saw this. Creating high-performance Silverlight applications on the phone.
Yep.
It must be chaos over there. I mean, you're about to launch something, and you're releasing stuff as fast as you can, and then white papers are coming out, and I mean, this must be insane. I'm surprised you
didn't have time to talk to me. It's really nice that we're able to share that white paper right now, because you know, some developers that we've actually met, they were Silverlight developers for a long time, and before that, WPF. And so they just never thought about, you know, well, how do I have the best animation that's going to look smooth? Because honestly, sometimes you just get really happy in Blend and you start pulling things together and you can make complex animations with 5 or 6 layers. And that's really difficult for the phone's, you know, hardware to handle.
Yeah, yeah. Now, on a big machine, like I've got a hexa-core, I guess it's called a 6-core machine.
Do you have the 980X?
What's that?
That's the 980X.
Yes, the 980X Extreme Magical Super version.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee you, your emulator experience is going to be a little different on that machine than when it's on the phone. So I'm glad you have a phone there, too.
Oh, is that interesting? Are you saying that it might run just as fast, you know, like too fast? It might be just not representative at all because it's so fast.
Well, it's close, but, you know, we don't really throttle the emulator that much. It's really a big problem to solve. And so right now, it's called an emulator for a reason. You know, it's not the Windows phone inside your computer. It's just emulating, you know, the OS and the experience. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, your computer is really powerful. So you might have what looks like a frame rate of 60 frames a second, you know, on the computer. And on the phone, it might be 40. So you'll just need to do optimizations once you have that phone in hand.
This is the part of the show where I mock you. Well, actually, Telerik mocks us. Your applications that you're testing dependent on external systems over which you have no control. Maybe you're being slowed down by those systems. Their lack of availability, responsiveness. You want to do TDD right. Our friends at Telerik help you solve some of those problems with their newest mocking tool, Just Mock. It'll let you do fast, simple, controlled unit tests independent of external resources like databases, web services, proprietary code. Unlike some mocking tools, Just Mock works with non-virtual methods, sealed classes, static methods, giving you complete control of your code. You can get more details. You can download Just Mock at Telerik.com/JustMock. And don't forget to thank Telerik for supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/Telerik. Thanks a lot. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was that when I'm writing a desktop application, there's the UI thread and then there's other background threads. But there's two threads that are kind of the two main threads inside of Silverlight. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because that's been something that's been hard for me to get my head around.
Yeah. Well, this is actually one of the best, you know, the biggest wins we've had for Silverlight for the Windows Phone. So it's called the Compositor thread. And its only job is to do really smooth animations. And it's separate from that user interface thread, which is all there was in Silverlight. So we got that much, right? UI thread, Compositor thread, and they're both sharing that single core in the phone. However, they both have very different purposes.
Mm-hmm. And the Compositor thread, like you said, it does its job is to facilitate smooth animation, right? But there's specific kinds of animations that it will basically offload to the graphics processor.
Yeah, yeah. So the Compositor thread, it's the independent animations thread. So that's what's going to make your app look beautiful, running at 60 frames a second. And that's because if you have any really basic properties you're animating, opacity, you know, the scales, transforms, rotates, and planes, all of those are going to be handled on the Compositor thread, keeping the UI thread just responsive and ready to, you know, do anything else.
Okay, so that means that you said planes and rotates, so that I can, the animations that I was talking about earlier, where I want to turn a page or rotate something away, that's all stuff that the GPU will accelerate, and if I do it right and I do the storyboard correct, it shouldn't be an issue.
Right. Yeah. You have to mark it for bitmap mode. That's the caching mode. And once you do that, we hand off that texture, you know, to the GPU, and it just handles everything. So it's really efficient.
Okay. So that's interesting. So is this a default, or is this something I have to go out and set myself, this bitmap mode that you mentioned?
Well, there's actually a visualization setting you can. There's a flag you can set. Uh-huh. And so when you run it on a phone, you'll see kind of this heat map, and that'll show you what's currently cached and what's not. So, you know, a lot of things will be set by default. cache mode. If you have something inside like a list box, we're going to automatically add that property whenever it makes the most sense. But it's definitely something that you can optimize in your app as well.
Ah, okay. This is interesting. So it looks like it's application current, yada, 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 enable frame rate counter, true. And then it goes and it adds this kind of cool Star Wars font.
So that's the one that gives you the pretty numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's also a separate one, which is cache visualizations.
Cache visualizations. Here we go. Enable cache visualizations equals true. Heat map of textures. That's awesome. Okay, so then when I get my app mostly working, I go and I turn this on, and then this will let me know if there's something I'm doing wrong in case I've made an animation that's, you know, too complex and suddenly the Windows Phone GPU is not involved anymore, right?
Right. Well, do you want to actually turn them on your app right now and place it in the emulator?
Yeah, that's okay. Will it work in the emulator?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me do that. I'll go into... I guess I'll go into app, initialize phone application, and then I'll put in application current host settings cache visualization. Run it. Deploy succeeded. Oh, okay. So I have a list full of that, and everything is suddenly blue. There's like a blue background around all of my list items.
Yep.
And then I click on them, and then everything in my app is currently blue. And I've got,
okay.
And I click on, yeah, everything's blue. What does that mean?
So that means that current time that it was rendered, we haven't had to touch the textures again since then. And so if some texture is updated, you actually see it kind of toggle to the next color in a series.
Ah, okay. So blue is, blue is good or bad?
Blue is indifferent, so it's just going to toggle through colors.
Okay. And as I move around, everything is staying blue.
So if it's not actually like flashing, if you don't see it going from blue to red to green, then that means that you're totally cached right now, and you're doing well.
Okay, cool. All right, good. Well, then I'm getting lucky with my defaults then.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to make it, you know, a good experience for you, but you should be aware of it once you start tuning your app.
Okay, so then what is fill rate? I know that this comes up in gaming.
Yeah, yeah. So on the far right of the screen, do you currently have a bunch of numbers?
No, I don't have any numbers here.
So this should be the frame rate counters. Do you have that enabled?
All right, let me turn that on. So that's enable... frame rate counter equals true. Put that in and rerun it. Starts up again. And the app runs. Everything is blue. And then, oh, okay. So in the far right, it's kind of hard to see. Let me zoom in here. I've got a bunch of zeros that are red. And yeah, it looks like a weird font. It's like a Star Wars font from like the old Raster game.
Well, do you want to walk through what all these numbers mean?
Yeah, sure. What do we got here? Oh, one of them just jumped.
So the first one is render thread. That's the compositor. And that's the one that we want to have at 60 all the time if we can.
Yeah, this one says 70, 71, 69, 66. So that's frames per second?
Yep, that's frames per second. And in the emulator, a lot of times it might be over 60, but on the phone you'll be capped at 60.
Okay.
And one thing to note is if the number says zero or the number doesn't change, that just means there's no animations happening right now. So there's nothing. There's no work happening.
Okay.
And second thread is the UI thread, the user interface thread.
Okay. That one's also 60 on this machine.
Yeah. And so that's the most important thread for Silverlight. That's where all the events are processed, touched and gestures, all of your eventing code for data binding, everything's on the UI thread. So that's why you want to make sure that thread is as free as possible to do that work.
Okay, so then if I see a drop in that thread, then I'm doing something wrong.
Well, you're going to see a drop in that thread, you know, regularly because there's a garbage collector that's, you know, going to be kicked off from time to time. There's data binding. It's going to happen. Just realize that if it drops below 20, that, you know, you'll start to see a degradation in performance.
Okay. Okay, so I just deployed it to the app. To the phone, rather. So I'm on an actual phone now, and I'm moving it around. 59, 60, 56, 60, 59, 60.
Yeah, and you know, so the human eye is not going to really see a huge difference between 50 and 60, so those are great numbers.
Okay, that's good. All right, so that's the first two. So you've got the render frames per second, the user interface frames per second. Then there's
Next is the texture memory usage.
So that one's about 5,000 right now.
Okay. You know, that one, that number is going to change all the time. And that's just kind of an FYI of how much memory is being used. And I don't know the exact the memory limits on your device, but it's just something you can see to recognize if you have huge textures in use.
Sounds like something I would care about if I was doing a game.
Yeah, totally. So the next one is the surface counter.
And that one's 28.
Okay. So that one's actually the number of, you know, textures that we're storing and giving to the GPU. So it's a good number to have. If it's really low, you need to do some additional work to cache more UI elements.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the next number is 1.
That's the intermediate texture count.
Okay.
So that's just kind of telling you how many different layers are we having to composite. So if you imagine having kind of, you're sitting in Photoshop and you have 3 different layers and they all kind of overlap one another. We might actually have to generate a couple of intermediate textures in order to render that on the compositor thread. So the lower that number, the better.
Okay. And then the last one is fill rate counter, according to the book here. The number of pixels painted per frame.
Super important number.
Okay.
So what's your number right there on the phone?
0.5.
Oh, you're doing great. Yeah.
As I scroll around, so is that let me guess, is that telling me like I'm basically redrawing half the screen?
Yeah, exactly. It's telling you how many screens are currently being drawn, and anything under 2 is good.
Oh wow, okay. How many screens are being drawn per frame? So how many a value of 1 would mean I redrew the entire screen?
Yeah. Let's say you had just a picture that takes up the exact screen resolution of the device. You know, that's going to be 1.0, and that's fine. That's really easy for the hardware to handle. But if you also had, let's say, another picture you wanted to slide in smoothly, it's probably sitting a little bit to the right of your screen. All of a sudden, you'll have a fill count of 2.0 because you've got that whole other picture ready to come in.
I see. So it's going to start getting really interesting when I start doing my animations later.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, if you want it to be smooth, you're going to want to have off-screen visuals. They might not be currently in the screen, but they're part of that fill rate because there's a Silverlight layout pass happening. We have to know how large the item is, how to fit it into the whole scheme of things. So it's pretty important to keep that number monitored well, because once it's over about 2.5, you'll probably see your frame rate start to drop, you know, from 60 frames down to maybe 30 frames a second. And it'll get worse the more, you know, that's on there.
Okay. One of the things that I spent a lot of time doing in the early couple of hours of starting this application was I ran around looking for images. I wanted to, make my little application bar have cool images. So I went around and found all of these different images, and they're all transparent PNGs. But then I noticed that the splash screen is a JPEG. Why should I use, I like PNGs, they have transparency, they're really clear, but they're also really big. Why should I use a PNG over a JPEG on the phone? And how do I keep things from being really, JPEG-y?
Yeah. Well, that's, that's kind of part of why we hire designers, because they know what they're doing. And there's huge performance differences between the two. So
really?
We can, it's really easy for the computer to, to rasterize that JPEG and get it up to the graphics unit.
Okay.
The PNG is going to take more work.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of this delicate balance you need to walk. You know, if you want transparency, obviously you need that PNG. And so a lot of your icons are probably going to be PNGs. But for your splash screen, we want your app to start as soon as possible. So a JPEG says, hey, let's do the least work we can to get that splash screen shown so we can do the real work in the background.
I see. Now, currently my application is a black background with white. But I thought it would be cool to switch back and forth between a black background and white text and a white background and black text. I'm not sure whether that's something that people are going to want to do. And there's some interesting discussions on different blogs about whether or not you should have dark images and light images. A lot of people are saying that you should take your images, like I've got my transparent PNG with my white text and its background, is transparent, and then just do the work of the the mirroring, the inverting rather, and switching it to black on white, and then compiling in those resources. So the application would be slightly larger, but I've done the work. However, programmers are always looking to keep from repeating themselves.
Yeah,
and some guys have said, no, you should just have one one resource for all of your pretty buttons, and then use some kind of a mask to do the inverting at runtime. And then another guy comes in and says, no, 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 using PNGs are for putzes. You should use everything in XAML. You should take your paths directly from Illustrator or Blend, and you should paste them in there, and you should draw all of your buttons manually. That way, they're vectors, and they scale, and you can switch them back and forth. Now, I don't know much, but it seems to me that I should put that work up front and actually make these PNGs separately. Even though it makes the app slightly larger, I'm doing some processing, some CPU work now so that no one ever has to do it. And what these other guys are proposing with the masking and doing the work of inverting all of this stuff and or rasterizing everything themselves, they're effectively saying, I want millions of phones to do the work that I wasn't going to do up front. So... settle a bet for me and tell me what you think. This is just your opinion.
You know what? It's really a continuum. So I think everyone wins at this bet, maybe. But
oh, man.
we keep saying that Azure and the whole cloud is there to do really hard, really heavy lifting because the cloud is just really powerful. Yeah. Don't do that on the phone. Do your crazy processing there.
Okay.
It doesn't apply to images. Obviously, I'm not going to rasterize my image in Azure at startup, but... the message is, if you can sit on your computer, your 8-core computer, there are 6 cores, and you can generate those PNGs, that's just going to be the right call, I think, in most cases.
Okay. So it sounds like doing a mask and some image processing at startup, just because you don't want 2 copies of images in your application, is a better strategy. It just seems to me that the work that it would be required, you'd have to do that every single time, right? Or you'd have to save them. I guess you could cache them.
Yeah, you could always put them in isolated storage, but that is additional work. So, there's still reasons to use XAML as well, though. The phone has the accent color, so I think it's blue by default.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you change that to pink or green, if you're using XAML, it can actually pick up that color and use that in your app.
Oh, that's an interesting point, too. I have a little thing in my application that is an unread kind of a button. Right now, it's a little image that sits in a column inside of my list that tells you whether or not something has been read or not. And I've gone back and forth about using the accent color, but currently it's a PNG. But it's just a PNG of a circle with kind of a yin-yang thing.
That's really easy to do in XAML. And if you have it bitmap cached, it's going to be quick to do.
I see. And then is a bitmap cache something that, so I have like an image right now. I have my list box and inside it is my open bracket image. And I just have to go and say cache mode equals?
Cache mode equals bitmap cache, yeah.
Ah. Okay, I see. And then by default things aren't cached because you want to take control of that.
By default, many things aren't cached, but once you're in a scrolling container or a list box, we'll actually automatically apply it if it makes sense.
Hmm. That's interesting. Is this something that I should be thinking about proactively, or should I, from a larger perspective, should I just make my app and then make my app fast, or should I be thinking about performance all the time?
I think you need to think about performance from time to time, but make your app first, and as long as you've at least reviewed some of these documents, you're cognizant of, what should I be doing with these graphics? I think you'll be fine to just, from time to time, run your app and think about it rather than just, not thinking about it. You can sleep fine at night.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like you said before, if I'm making a game and I really care about frame rate, that's important. But in this case here, it's going to be kind of text boxes over data, and I'm going to be, processing stuff. It seems to me like the performance on the animation side is something that I'm going to be able to figure out, and I can modify different elements by marking them as caching, and I can experiment with my different animations to make sure I can pick a smooth one. But these 2 threads that you talked about, that main thread and the compositor thread, I can have other threads, though. I could fire off background threads and go off to the network and download things while these animations are happening?
Yeah, definitely. So you always want to do like heavy parsing of JSON or XML in a background thread, because that keeps that UI thread open to respond to gestures and, events that the OS has. And so you use a background thread for that. And the compositor thread's running the entire time. It's giving you beautiful 60 frames a second in most cases. And so that's a great thing that just isn't in Silverlight. You know, in Silverlight, if you were to block on the UI thread, you wouldn't see animation. You can actually block the UI thread, not that you'd want to, on the phone. And you'd see that your animations are still smoothly animating in the background.
Oh, really? So even if I screw up and I start messing around on the UI thread, if I have any background things going on, it'll keep going?
Yeah, if you have your animations done right, it'll just be really smooth. And we've done a lot of work to make sure that it looks nice.
Okay. And this background thread, I know I'm going to fire off a background thread to go and fetch my information for my offline reader. Should I just keep using that thread and do my parsing when it comes back? Or should I fire off yet another thread and do parsing as a separate worker thing? Or can I reuse the one?
It's easy enough to actually, instead of worrying about doing threading, just using the background worker, which is actually built into the whole platform. And it's real easy. It's got events. You just kick it off and it goes.
Oh, really? Okay, so I don't need to think about threading. I just say background worker. And is this a controller or this is a helper method?
Yeah, it's a helper that's built into the platform, and it's actually inside that performance document. There's some examples of using it.
Okay. This is actually a nice document. It says it's version 0.1, the version that I have here. So it sounds like it will get revved if it's 0.1. But it's 26 pages.
0.2 any day now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, you know, something else I wanted to say. You were talking about having resources that were images.
Right.
Yeah. So resources are the wrong decision for Windows Phone apps. You actually want to make sure they're marked as content in your app.
Hmm. Okay, why is that?
This is because an embedded resource is part of that DLL that's loaded at startup time and it goes through the CLR.
Okay.
So imagine you had some video of Britney Spears in there that was 3 megs. You don't want to load that at startup time. You want to bring it on demand only if you actually want to watch the video. So you mark it as content and we'll just pull it in when you need it instead of every time your app starts.
This is interesting because actually I'm looking in my images here and I have 3 or 4 of them marked as resource. So this is interesting. The new images that I added to my list are marked as resource. Now if I go over into my XAML, I refer to some of these images with a forward slash and then later on a little differently. Is there a particular way to refer to something as content versus as a resource?
So it's actually inside the XAML, if it's a content, it'll just look kind of like a simple URI.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a resource, you'll see some other crazies. You know, there's component text in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really less about the XAML experience. It's more about making sure that in the little properties window in Visual Studio, that it's marked that image is content.
Okay, so I'll be able to refer to it either way. So I've just switched all of those from content. That's interesting. I had a bunch of images that were set to resource, so that may have been slowing my app down a little bit.
Yeah.
Very cool. This is great.
So it's kind of voodoo magic. It's a lot of things to know.
Well, you know, there's always, we call that concept count, right? There's definitely a lot to know, but I've talked to Pete Brown and Tim Heuer and some different guys that know Silverlight, and I've talked to a bunch of XAML people who've done Silverlight but hadn't done the phone, and they have said that it's if you have Silverlight skills, that you're going to find it very, very comfortable. I mean, no one who knows Silverlight has complained to me about having trouble picking up the phone. So the issues that I'm having are learning about, you know, what XAML wants. And because it's such a small phone and a small screen compared to a big complicated application, I'm finding that the XAML in my applications is a lot less scarier than I thought it was going to be. I think I've got about 50 lines of XAML so far. I'm sure it'll get more when I start adding in all my animations.
Yeah, well, it's really simple. And you know, I think even people that don't know Silverlight will be amazed at how easily they can just kind of start building apps. You know, if you're a .NET developer today, it's real easy to at least get started with that simple app.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you, I really enjoyed reading your blog. I know that your full-time job is dev. You're not any kind of evangelist, and you're not, you know, I guess probably no bosses care whether you blog or not. But I really do enjoy your blog. His blog is at jeff.wilcox.name. I'm sure that if you search for Jeff Wilcox on phone, you'll find it. You definitely got a knack for blogging, and I really do appreciate it. And I hope that you continue to find time to put that information out there.
Yeah, well, thank you.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.